Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Escapes. And thanks for taking a break for 1 hour today to hang out with me. I am so excited that I have not only two individuals that I look up to, that I admire with us today, Mr. Brian and Mrs. Kim Walker. And they are not only true entrepreneurs, in my opinion, but their walk in faith and how they got to where they are. They have led us not only to become friends, but mentors. And I follow them on every facet that they do. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear from them and hear our very first power couple episode, because these two individuals are my true word of power couple. So good morning. And I'm excited to have y'all here, and Garland's here with us this morning, and I want you guys to just do a little intro, and then we'll see where this morning takes us.
All right.
Good morning. We're happy to be here. Excited.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for having us. This is going to be fun, especially with you two.
Yeah. Always. Always. So Kim or Brian, whoever wants to take the lead, can you guys introduce yourself just a little bit on what you're currently doing? And then we're going to kind of stop there, because I think that I'd love to have y'all on individually to talk a little bit more about what you guys are currently doing. But then I want to backtrack to where you guys started and what y'all's journey's been.
Like, how did they get started working together? That's definitely something that we wanted to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. Just a quick introduction. We're Brian and Kim Walker. We own a company called Shop Marketing Pros, where we do marketing for auto repair shops. And our very quick background was that we were shop owners. I was a technician. And before that, Kim was a school counselor. And I talked her into coming into the business. And I have a feeling you'll hear a little bit about that story
just a
today.
For sure.
So, Miss Kim, tell us a little bit about what your role is and what y'all currently have going on at Shop Pro.
Okay. So my role, well, as business owners, you know, you have your hands in lots of different things. So sure. Currently, my big thing is really being the HR person. That has become a huge part of my role. And also I am responsible for really a lot of the relationships that we make in the industry and teaching and putting classes together. So I would say that's what takes up the most of my time, and mentoring. I do a lot of mentoring our team and spending intentional time with them.
You took the words right out of my mouth, that your voice is just calming. And I know that you do that a lot with your team. So I love that. So can y'all take me back? Because I know a little bit about your story, but I think it is a journey to be recognized. And also, I want you guys to touch on your fabulous son, because I think his story is intertwined in your journey as well. And I will let y'all take that on, because I think Peyton and his journey is amazing. But can you tell us a little bit about the beginning? Like, y'all are in auto repair shops now, but how did we get there?
Yeah. So Brian, you better let him tell that part, because would you say we have like an hour and I'll end up being here till tomorrow. So,
So when we met through our church. We went on a singles skiing trip together that Kim didn't know was a singles trip, or she wouldn't have been there.
That's a whole story by itself.
But I was a Mercedes technician at the dealership. Kim was a teacher at the time. And very long story short, a couple of years into our marriage, Kim calls me up one day and says, you know, hey, want to grab lunch. And, you know, it was on Valentine's Day, and or was it right before Valentine's Day?
I don't know. Was February 12th.
Yeah, so it was right before Valentine's Day. So I didn't think anything of it. I just thought she was coming to have lunch, and she comes
Except
to have lunch.
That
and
I was a school counselor and supposed to be at school.
Yeah. But this is where I learned that we were pregnant.
And at Arby's.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very romantic, very romantic lunch at Arby's. But we had been talking some, never too serious about one day owning our own auto repair shop. And it didn't take too long after finding out that we were pregnant for me to realize, if I don't do this now, like once that child is born, I am not going to leave the safety and the security of the dealership. So, you know, we're talking, and I'm telling Kim, we need, you know, I want to do this. It's something that I'm passionate about. I really want to do it. And we need to do it now before Peyton is born. So we did, we opened our first shop. I was in it probably 6 months or so. And then Kim came to work in it with me a little bit. She was this was during the summer break, because she was still working for the school. And then we ended up, there's a long story there that we really can't get into. Yeah, we just don't have time for it. But we ended up moving to a new location, big, beautiful facility. And we needed to fill that thing up. It was a 20,000 square foot shop. It was me and one other tech and a service advisor there. And, you know, to put that in perspective, a shop with two techs and a service advisor is probably a 2,000 to 3,000 square foot building. We were in 20,000 square feet. We needed more business. So I asked Kim to come work with me and do our marketing, and I'll let Kim take over here.
Yeah. So the important part when you're thinking about working together is, oftentimes when someone steps out of their comfort zone in the career choice or their field, and they go open their own business, at least in the automotive repair industry, very often the business owner, it's going to be a while before they're getting paid. And so Brian was not, he went from a six-figure salary at the dealership to boldly stepping out to not a six-figure salary. And so when he asked me to come join him, I said, well, somebody's got to get paid, so I'll come, but you have to promise that I'm going to get paid. We have bills to pay. And also a small child, a baby at that point. So obviously that was agreed upon, and I left. But the funny thing is, we own a marketing agency now, and he asked me to do marketing. And I'm like, I don't know what marketing is. I told someone yesterday that I Googled what is marketing, but I didn't, because it didn't even have Google at the time. Right. At least not the way that we do now. But, you know, here
probably,
we are.
Probably like Alta Vista.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Exactly. Yeah. So he was just a believer in me. And he said, I know that you can figure it out. You're great with people. And so, yeah, I left a career that I really loved, school counselor at the time. I was a teacher before. And yeah, I mean, just jumped into the deep end of a pool, and I could not swim. So, you know, we figured it out, and here we are today. And now I sit on the marketing advisory board for the marketing department at Southeastern, and people are paying us. We have 32 employees that we feed them and their families, and we're doing a great job at marketing auto repair shops.
One thing that couples that go into business together, there's a lot of fear that's involved in that, because typically, like you said, either one or both are leaving a steady paycheck, and there is some fear in my opinion, I know at least for Garland and I, that was the same thing. He had a six-figure job. And when we started ENG, I was here working alone. But then whenever he came on, it was lots of conversations of like, we still have bills to pay. Like, if this doesn't work, what happens?
So what was funny about, what was not funny, what was so interesting about listening to y'all's story is there's so many similarities. One of them that's laughable is I found out that Erica was pregnant while I was driving a garbage truck. So she called me and she's like, hey, you need to pull over. We need to talk, you know.
And so, then he didn't believe me. He said, you're lying. And I'm like,
And like you said, you, Kim, it's interesting to find out that I can relate to your side more because I came into Erica's world. I used to just help on the punch outs. So like, you know, everybody puts all the blue tape up at the end, and that was my time to kind of come in and help finish a job. But I had my corporate job, and I had to come out of my comfort zone. I know transportation. I had driven garbage trucks. I had managed truck drivers. I've been doing that for 12 years. And I can really relate when you said come out of your comfort zone,
yep.
Because that really defines what it was like the first year or two for me, because I knew everything where I was at. I was the guy that people came to. And for me to be so vulnerable to come into Erica's world and have to rely on teaching myself or learning from her.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, your story was there was a push due to the size of the shop and there was a need. Our push, because I wanted to come work with Erica. I felt like it was time. She had started to interview some people to help her as a project manager. And just so happened, COVID hit. And our company was looking to reduce staff and they were handing out severance packages. So COVID was that push for us to say, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely petrified. How am I going to work with him?
So it's
how is this dynamic going to work? So can y'all talk to us or to our audience too, just about what and how y'all found those roles? And I know for everyone out there, Kim and Brian and I have had lunch and we have talked about this and they have held my hand in faith and talked about this because there has definitely been trying times, but we're here and we are definitely in a much better place than our first year when we were working together. But how would you coach a little bit on how y'all found y'all's place and then how do y'all separate that time? Because y'all are like us, y'all work together, y'all travel together, and then you also run business together. So how does that work?
Ryan, you want to start? You want me to start?
I can start. We've been working together for 21 years. So we've been married 24 years. Going on 25, and we've worked together all but three of those years.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about working together, I'm talking about there have been times where our desks were touching, you know, that close to each other. And it's funny because I look back, we've actually been on a magazine cover before with other working couples. And, you know, we somehow make it work. And people ask about what the secret is to making it work. And I don't know. I don't really know exactly what the secret is. You know, Kim and I, we're best friends. Don't get me wrong. We get on each other's nerves sometimes. There's no doubt about that. And we have our,
you don't get on my nerves. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That would be like saying that I am just a perfect angel to Garland every day.
There is such a central nervous system impact on Kim from me that her eyes can completely roll. Like she can see her brain. They roll so far, but
I almost did it. I had to catch it.
we're like there. I can do things and I can make Erica's eyes twitch.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Left eye will start twitching really bad.
I mean, I look at it, it's more than just work. You know, we look at the state of marriage around us in general, and there's so many people that are getting divorces right now. I mean, it is an epidemic. And when I look at our friends and, you know, the friends that have those amazing marriages, the thing that always comes back to for us that we can point at is our faith. You know, we're faithful people. We live with like biblical principles, and, you know, there's something bigger than our relationship, you know, that we look up to that, that keeps us together. I mean, Kim, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously what I would say. I'm trying to go back to that moment. And I don't even think, and this was probably God protecting me and Brian, when he asked me to join him in the business, I really don't remember ever thinking, can I work with you? And keep in mind also that we were all one another had. So we left our wedding in a U-Haul moving to North Carolina, where I did not know a single person other than Brian, and he knew maybe two or three people because of the dealership he moved there a few months before we did together. And so he had a couple of friends at the dealership where he worked, but we didn't have like a support system there. We were our support system and our faith as well. So, you know, then when I started working in the same building, and then, you know, it's like there, I have people ask me, well, when do you just have your own time? Like, you're always together, right? You live together, obviously, and then you're working together. So I was like, well, in the car, when I drive to the shop, like, you know, you have a few minutes, so that's really kind of it. But I don't know when you, this is probably going to sound strange, but like, we honestly are that couple that finish each other's thoughts. Like, we are one. And so I don't really know how to not be together all the time, if that makes sense. Like, it it's a puzzle piece that just fits together.
So there's so many similarities in y'all's story and ours, where we even moved to Northwest Arkansas together for a couple of years. And that was our first time working together eventually.
That's right.
But like you said, we only knew a couple of people there, and we were able to happily, successfully be together without all of our friends and family and around. So that's interesting that we can relate. But Miss Kim, your story about working as one together, I'm not sure that we can relate. And I'm curious, I want to ask, are y'all's personalities similar? Because I'll tell you, I am so passive, and I have such a different personality, and I have such a different management style than Erica does. And I would say that that's something that is wonderful about our working relationship, but equally a challenge, because we do disagree oftentimes on how to handle things. And there's times that I look back at how she handled something, and I can admit that her way was better. And then there's times where I look at it and say, well, my way would have been better. So what are the personality dynamics with y'all's relationship?
We get that question a lot, honestly, from people that know us. Cause like you say, people always ask you, how do you work together all the time? And I do agree, our personalities are very different, but I do see similarities in you and Brian's personality.
I'm curious about who has which role and how that looks.
Yeah. So there's a lot. I'm going to unpack a little bit of that, and then I know Brian will have some things to say as well. So, you know, it's the balance, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I am by no means a passive person, but I'm also not aggressive. So I'm somewhere in the middle. Brian is like emotionally a flat line. And I mean that in a positive way. Like, he's dependable. He's steady. He's stable. Like, I'm the up and down, call it hormones, call it whatever, but you know, I'm an emotional being, not only just woman, but I was a school counselor. But by my natural traits, that's who I am. And I'm a kind of a softy sometimes, but I can get right in the middle if I need to. Brian is a very strong force. He's very quiet, but when he speaks, it's important. You know, people listen when he opens his mouth. I open my mouth and they're like, here's Kim talking again. You know, it's that kind of thing. But I think it's just a good balance between us. And again, next year will be our 25th wedding anniversary. So we're just now, I think, starting to figure things out. Communication is sometimes still a frustrating part. We very often have the on both sides. Well, don't you remember I told you that? You never said that. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. You know, and so, and I'm not, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to just let Brian finish, but, and I know that he doesn't care that I share this, but I think it's very important. I say that I'm saving marriages when I talk about menopause, but this is really the real saving marriages part. Brian already mentioned that the Lord is the center of our entire universe. But last year, I want to say the whole communication part is I think couples need to break down the fear and the pride of counseling. So as far as marriage, we are as solid as you can be, but we know that there are areas that need improvement, such as communication. And we took an entire day out of our calendar and scheduled a time with the marriage counselor that we know and spent, it was supposed to be 8 hours. Imagine that, 8 hours. Yeah. One like intensive, it's the Walker way, like just make a decision and just go all in and just get it
100%,
done. But I guess we're overachievers. We only needed half a day. However, we spent a good solid 4 hours with her just dissecting our communication. And I'm not going to say that we left there and are winning the world. For me, I took something away that I believe has helped, because now I, you know, there are women in this world, and I'm probably not going to make some people happy here, who believe they have to be very just out in front and speaking all the time. And I talk a lot, but I'm learning that I screw up sayings all the time, mountains to die on. Right. And then there are some to just say, just move on. Like it's not, I don't have to be the voice at this moment. And so there are times when I just tell myself, just shut up. This is not worth it. Just move on. And then he says what he needs to say. I say what I need to say, but I see him doing the same things. There are times when I notice we've both just slowed down a little bit what we're saying. And I can tell that he's thinking about what he's saying before he says it. Or, you know, and the big takeaway for me was, because we work and live and do this world together 24/7, we just talk about everything. There for us, there really is no, this is the work time and this is the family time. Like we talk about everything at all times. And so in those situations, I have learned to just make sure it's the right time for the conversation. That was the big takeaway for me when we met with the counselor, was not every conversation needs to happen at that moment. He will tell you he's very ADD and he needs to focus. And then here I come in, hey, I need to ask you a question, and he can't. It's not a good time. But I'm the same way. Like I'm just busy trying to get something done. Just yesterday he came and he was like, hey, come out here and see this. And I'm like, I really need to finish what I'm doing. So just respecting the other person and where they are in the world at that moment, at that time, is this the right time to have whatever conversation it is?
That's very interesting. And that's an amazing answer, because Garland and I are definitely going through some of those things. I love that you're so vulnerable about telling us and telling anyone that's listening about the counseling, because I think that you're right. There's this smoke and mirrors that everything is perfect around every single person every day. And it's just not the true being of life, is that it's not. And so when you go into that and you talk about, Garland has ADHD too. And so some of that is our struggle, because in all vulnerability, he got off of his medicine because he was like, I don't want to be like that anymore. And so we've had to kind of figure out, like, he'll come in and I'm sitting at the desk and he's like, oh, hey, but I'm like, I'm in the middle of doing something, but as soon as I finish, I'll come back to that. But sometimes that's not good for him because he's already moved on to something else. Right. So we try to find that fine line of like, can it wait or do I need to answer it right away?
Right. On my notepad next to the computer, I put a big star and it said time for the conversation. Like, let's be honest. Sometimes I'm watching a baseball game in the living room and Erica will walk in and think that, well, I must have time to talk about the status of a job. And it's not that I don't have the time, but it takes my mind a minute to get in that gear. So like, I can definitely,
don't have any of that separated space and time. We are in a season of our life where we are working or we are with kids, and I am 100% a free Uber driver between 10 other activities in the afternoon that go until 8 or 9 o'clock and homework. So sometimes we do, and I feel like a lot of couples that work together are just trying to find that perfect statement that you made. Is it the time for the conversation, or is it time to be 100% devoted to, we're going to watch our kids play baseball or we're going to watch Aubrey dance? And I think that that is a struggle that I hear with multiple couples that we talk to. I know that my coaches that we work with, they also tell Garland and I that about scheduling some time. We need to schedule a little bit of time before we break for the day to kind of close out, because it is harder for Garland to get into that mindset. I am the one, walk into the room and let's just figure everything out, because let's check it off of our list.
We're in the middle of cooking dinner and then she'll just start spatting out questions about a job, and it definitely throws me for a loop. So there's value in that discussion that you brought up, even in our work and relationship. So I appreciate you sharing that. And it's interesting because most people have this stigma that seeing a marriage counselor, I can see it from y'all's perspective, it's coaching. Why not accept the coaching? It's not necessarily that it's a failing marriage. It's, hey, we realize that there's some opportunity to get better through coaching. So, you know,
That's the secret there, is that like, you don't wait until the house is burning down, you know, before you try to put out the fire. Like in our case, there was nothing really, you know, bad in our marriage. We just know, and this is not something that is new, and it's not something that won't happen again, is the, you know, the communication issues. So we, you know, it's like your car, you got to have a tune up every once in a while. And it's the same thing in the marriage. It wasn't that there was anything really wrong when we went and saw that counselor. That we just want to, you know, we have a great marriage. We want to keep it great. We want to make it better if we can.
That's awesome.
I love that.
The funny thing, Garland, you said coaching, I believe that's actually what she calls herself. I think that's the way she is wildly successful, and she will do Zoom coaching for marriages. Like, we met her through a B&I group in North Carolina when we had our shop, and we just respect her and we've seen what she's done over the years. And so we reached out to her. We were actually going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina last year for a conference, same conference we just got back from a couple of weeks ago. And she had two dates. She had the date right before the conference and she had the date right after the conference. And she's like, which one do you want? And I'm like, okay, we better go with the one after the conference. Like, what if something goes wrong? Now, you know, like, oh my gosh. So we went with the day after, but yeah, that's she, it's Leslie Dorries in Cary, North Carolina, but she calls herself the marriage coach and she's doing a phenomenal job. So,
and one of the things about her too, is she's a champion for men, you know, and it's not that she takes men's side. It's just that she knows that men are usually the ones that are difficult to get to go to counseling, because, and there tends to be this idea that the counselor or the coach, you know, will tend to more side with the woman's side of things. And, you know, Leslie is, she is that coach for those people where, you know, the man is a little apprehensive about that.
So it's pretty cool that we're talking about this, because do y'all remember the last time that we were talking about this, you hadn't gone to see her yet. We were actually having lunch at your house and y'all were preparing to go. And you were telling me about her, because I had come to my faithful friends for lunch. And during our lunchtime, we had started to have the conversation that I don't know if I am cut out to do this with Garland. And both of you just looked at me and said, stop, y'all are amazing. Because for our listeners out there, like I said, Kim and Brian are not only our friends, but we also had the blessed privilege of building their home for them here in Louisiana. And so I was actually sitting in the dining room that we had built and seeing this beautiful home and all of the peaceful reminders that life is crazy and just take a breath. And y'all both told us that. And there was actual conversation pieces that I took from that day. And I immediately brought back to the office and I just told Garland, I don't know if he'll remember this or not, but I was like, I love you. We're going to do this. It's going to be perfectly fine. And we're going to figure out our way. Cause it was so fresh. Like it was really new. Yeah. And so it's amazing that we're talking about this because I know that both of y'all were a little bit nervous and excited about going to see her. So it's amazing to hear that that went just as well as what y'all had expected and found out obviously how she could help in that arena too.
Yeah. It just actually went to look her up because I was going to tell you, but it's funny just to go back. I forgot because I'm the woman. I forgot how important that male part is. And this is what she, her Facebook, per her personal Facebook profile, her cover photo is join our Facebook group, Good Guys, Great Husbands, a men only safe place to talk about your marriage. And then, and she does the Hero Husband Project, I think it's called. But then her like bio section of her Facebook profile says, I help professional men win back themselves, their wives, and their marriages. Message me in confidence. Like, and that's, you know, I think that's also very important. Like what Brian said is, a lot of times it's the woman bringing up, we should get counseling, and it's the men who, you know, if the women said, find the counselor that you would feel comfortable going to, they would probably find a man, right. But she brings a really unique perspective and she really is not biased, but she just opens up a comfortable pathway for men to be able to safely say what they want and need to say. And probably more than anything is just to be heard. So,
you know, what you talked about, Erica, when you left after a meeting with us and you went and talked to Garland, the first thing you said is, I love you.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is the most important part of it because I mean, look, life is hard. And then you add business into the mix and it gets even harder. And you have the stresses of business, and we're talking about things like, you know, this separation of work and home, which is a fallacy, by the way. That's not even real. You know, I do think that when you have had a bad day at work, you have to learn how to leave that at work. You know, so whether you're in business with your spouse or not, you have to learn how to leave that at work. But there's no separation of work and home when you're a married couple in business together. I mean, you're talking about business, you know, every waking hour. But, you know, this idea of like, how do we do it? How do we work together? How do we get along? You know, you started by telling him that you love him. And that's the thing is, you have to love the person more than you love the idea of winning the argument. You have to love the person, you know, more than they're more important than the business. You know, they're more important than whatever the problem is that's going on. And you have to remember that. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to argue or fight about things. It just means that there's when you do that and then it's over with after that, you know, and you keep it about whatever the problem is rather than ever letting it become the, you know, personal.
Right.
You know, we follow EOS in our business, Entrepreneurial Operating System, one of the best things that we've ever done in our business. And you talked about like the different people that Kim and I are, and EOS is something that actually gives me permission to be the person I am and gives her the person, you know, permission to be the person that she is. And we thrive within our roles in the business because of it. But one of the tenets of EOS is being able to have a heated discussion. You know, I don't want to necessarily call it
radical candor,
but you have to be able to do that. But the reason that you're able to do it is because you know that the thing you have trust for the other person, because you know that whatever it is that you're fighting about or that you're arguing about, they're just trying to get to a good solution. They're trying to make a better end product for the business or for the client or whatever. And if you know that about the person, if you know that they are coming at it from a standpoint of, I just want to fix what's going on, or I just want a better product for our client, or I just want a better environment for our employees, or whatever the situation is. If you know that about them and you trust that that is what it's really about, then you can have those, you know, those discussions that can get quite intense, mm-hmm. but it doesn't become personal because you know the person's heart.
Right.
You know, it's respect. It comes down to the word respect. And women by nature, by just the way we're created, we are seeking safety and security and stability. However that comes, whether we're providing it for ourselves, if you're a single mom, or if whatever, like that is our innate desire. Men seek and need and deserve respect. And this world today, it's very lacking. And, you know, Brian said that you went back and you told Garland, I love you. We say it often, probably not often enough. But sometimes in the most random moments, and that's when we were just walking through the airport Sunday.
It's the most genuine when you're not expecting it.
Right. We're just walking through the airport and he just looked over, he said, I love you. And I was like, well, like it catches you, but we need to know that someone else has our back at the end of the day, you know, and that you always have that person there for you. And I feel like I might be hurting feelings this morning, but
absolutely not.
Brian, and even though he would tell you he might not feel this, and I probably need to do a much better job at this, but it's God, it's Brian, and then it's Peyton.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this.
Brian is, and he probably doesn't feel that because I am like an insane mom, but my relationship with Peyton, how different would that be if Brian and I didn't protect our marriage and we weren't there for one another? We didn't put that first. So that is something that, you know, this in this day and age, and I'm not talking to y'all because I know y'all are busy and I know you have your kids are involved in everything. And we were, I don't know, we were maybe blessed that Peyton didn't want to do all that stuff that kids do these days. I tried to pay him to play football and he just wasn't having it. But, you know, he had his own thing that he did. It just wasn't group sports. But we didn't have to live that. Well, I mean, our business drug us all over the place and, you know, we were busy. But what I'm trying to get at is that we just made it very clear to him. And I think about him and his friends, and he has very few friends whose parents are still married. And he does have them. He definitely has some friends whose parents are still married. But, you know, even now where he has his 21-year-old, there are friends of his where he is that are just don't have that foundation. They don't have it. And it speaks a lot to who they are as a person and what they've been brought up with and how they interact with people and communicate and how they handle problems. And so that's just a really big piece of it as well. Brian knows I have his back.
So many people, they laugh or they make little side jokes because like Garland and I still hold hands everywhere. We might be at the office and at the desk and we'll just kind of put our hand on each other because sometimes it's just the touch of that other person that the blood pressure just goes down, or we're in the car. We've taken pictures and just like, yes, we still hold hands 16 years later in the car everywhere we go. And as crazy as it sounds, we kiss in front of our kids. Like I need my kids to be able to see. I mean, it's not like full makeout session or anything, but I mean, I want my kids to know that we are a unit, that we stand by each other, that we love each other. You know, Kipton's at that age now where if Garland walks by in the kitchen and he's going to nudge me by this table right now, he'll come by and just slap my butt. And I'm like, oh my gosh, our son's almost 13. Like, let's not do that. Look, he's laughing. But I want them to know that, like, I want Aubrey, my daughter, to expect that. I want somebody to respect her and show her that chivalry. I want my son to realize that it's okay to do that. I feel like so many couples don't do that. They're just kind of, I call it the passing lane, like where they're just passing each other and they're going through the motions. And I don't want that. And I love that, what you said about respect, because I think that right now in our society, we don't give that enough to each other. And I think that that's a sad downfall for why marriages are where they are right now, if we're just being honest with each other. And look, like you said, there's going to be moments of heated conversations, but at the end of the day, we go to bed, we say we love each other, and we walk through that together. And so I think that you guys have touched on a lot of things that probably couples that work together don't sit back and they want to realize that some of those things are probably some of the questions that they've feared to ask each other. Like, what do you need? What am I not giving you every day? Or do I not need, what do you not want me to do? Sometimes I ask Garland, what do you not like? It's okay to tell me that you don't like something. I'm not saying that we're going to agree on it, but you know, we do want to make sure that that other person has a voice too, especially when you're in business together. Everybody should have a voice. And so I guess my last question of the day or this morning or this evening, whoever, whenever y'all are listening, would be, you guys travel all the time and are the epitome of being in the RV, traveling, working, and flying all the time. How has that changed the dynamic in the office and with you guys? Is it better or worse? Good, bad, ugly.
So
tired. Or Kim can just, or you and Brian can just say amazing but tired.
Yeah, I mean that would be a good description of it. Amazing but tired. You know, as far as the dynamic of the office, we are incredibly blessed to have a business where we need a laptop and an internet connection. We can run our business from anywhere in the world. And that all changed with COVID, because we used to have that downtown office and everybody came into the office and everything, but it's not like that anymore. So when we travel, we're working, most of the time. You know, we probably twice a year, you know, we'll take a short trip where it's like, okay, this is just a vacation and we're not working during that time. But for the most time, if we're traveling, or for the most part, if we're traveling, we're working, but it is tiring. We have just finished our conference season. I have one more to go to that I'm just going to as an attendee, which I'm looking forward to. Kim, and I just finished the last one where we're teaching and expoing. We finished that this past weekend. And it will beat you down. And we are both, you know, I'm kind of on the line there where, all right, as we record this, it is October. And, you know, we're going into November and December. And I believe that a lot of people waste the last, especially the last month of the year, because they just check out. But we are... actually, we are absolutely winding it down some for the end of this year, but we've done so much work in the beginning of this year and throughout the year to prepare to be able to do that. And during this time, we'll actually be doing some of the most important things that you can be doing for your business, which will be the planning, you know, creating some content and stuff like that. But we are still winding it down, and we're going to enjoy the holidays, and we're going to chill some, you know, because when we went into this year, we knew this was going to be a rough year. It was going to be something where we like pushed and did a lot of stuff to get a lot of growth in the business, and we did it. But we are absolutely worn out from it.
Yeah, we started the year
in the airplane, and she was like, "Oh, my last trip."
Yes, indeed. We started the year. This year went by design, with intention, the way it was supposed to go. right? We knew that we were going to go. So by the end of this year, I think we will have done 12 conferences. And like, for those that don't understand that, it is, and we're like all in kind of people. So we typically sponsor in some level. We have a booth at the expo. So either us or our team, we're, you know, manning that booth, and, you know, you're talking to people the entire time. We are teachers and trainers. So very often we're teaching at every one of these conferences. There have been conferences where we taught four classes. This past weekend, we taught a 4-hour class in the morning, had lunch that was an expo. So you're not off, not relaxed, not taking a break, and then taught another 4-hour class.
A vendor reception after that.
And then a reception after that. And there was a breakfast that morning, and there was an event the night before. So,
and that's not even including the preparation that goes into
it. Before you leave. That's right.
Yeah.
Just getting ready for that stuff. And so the thing, like, I'm an extrovert. I am typically in my element right smack in the middle of a group of people, not necessarily the center of the group of people, but with people.
Right.
And Brian is just the opposite. He much prefers, like, where do you get your energy from? I get my energy from being around other people. Brian gets his energy from the fewer people, the better. And so there's a place for both of those things. But when you're constantly traveling and doing all of this, that toggle switch is constantly on. There's no downtime for it. And for us, we are highly blessed and highly favored. Life is great, but
we're not complaining.
Not a complaint.
I don't take it like that at all.
We sponsor everything. We are major content creators. We have our own podcast. We do lots of video. We do ads with those videos. So our faces are in front of people in our industry at every turn. And it's gotten to the point, this is amazing, that there are people who know us, but we don't know them. And so, like, even when you're at the airport, right? Even when you're at the airport, when you think your toggle switch is off, before you know it, you realize, no, it's on. Like, I'm talking to someone who just left the conference, and they're going on the same plane that we're going on. And so now you're in leggings and a t-shirt in a conversation with someone that you weren't expecting to be. And it's great. I mean, some of the best conversations happen that way. But, you know, the thing is, where we sit right now, we knew we were going to be in this position. And, you know, one of our trips earlier this year was, wow, like 30 days, 5,280 miles. We stayed in 16 different places. We visited 15 or 16 different shops. Like, that was wow. And then we both had major trips this summer. And like, we've just been going. And it is great and amazing. And we do a good job of slowing down that 5,280 mile trip. We spent 4 days in Monterey, California, in the Big Sur area, and, you know, just drove. So we're intentionally taking time. If we hadn't, then I don't know that we'd be sitting in the seat that we're in right now. You have to find that downtime to just recenter yourselves. I have a routine every morning. I start off with quiet time, and, you know, you have to do that. But I'm telling you, the rest of this year, I literally am working on a list of top priorities I have to get done. And I'm planning to aggressively go after those, because when they're done, I see a lot of pajamas, a lot of chocolate chips, a lot of hot chocolate, blanket, fire. In my comfy chair. That's right.
With her dog in her lap watching Hallmark Christmas movies.
That is fabulous. Yeah. So for all my listeners out there, I want you to know that if you do not know or follow Kim and Brian, I'm going to get them to tell you where to follow them. I think that they are amazing individuals. I am blessed and honored to call them not only a client, because that project was amazing, but they are truly a friend of mine. I look at them as mentors. For the little bit that I didn't say, I went down my coaching journey because of Brian. He met someone and he tagged me on Facebook and said, you must speak to this particular individual. And I reached out, and our journey at ENG over the last 2 years has been amazing because of that. So we are humbly blessed for even just that connection. And you guys are always trying to motivate and push people in your own arena and outside of your own sphere. And I truly just want you guys to know how blessed we are to know you. We are so proud of y'all. We follow you. It doesn't completely match with what we're doing, but every little nugget that you throw out there, don't think we don't jot it down, look it up, follow, and like. So I just want you to know that the Hemp Hills love the Walkers, and we can't wait to see where y'all go, what you do. And we love you guys. And so for all of our lovely people that are listening today or this morning, where can they find you? Where can they?
So let me say this real quick, Brian, if you don't mind, and then you tell them where to find us. We love y'all too. It's been amazing to watch your growth and what you're doing. When the home that we're sitting in, like, you guys haven't even seen the updates that have happened out here. You have no idea. You really need to sneak by, whether we're here or not, and take a look. Like, it's, we got some stuff going on out here, but it is, I still, 2 years and a couple months later, I just asked Brian last week this question. I still walk in my door and sometimes, and I might just cry, sometimes have to catch my breath right there in the foyer. And I look around, and I'm like, is this really my house? Like, do I really live here? It is spectacular. It's unbelievable. I still can't believe that it's ours and that we're here. So thank you for,
you just made me tear up. That's not what we were supposed to be doing this morning, but well, I love you guys. And that is absolutely your beautiful home.
Well, I was going to jump in and say the same thing. We absolutely love this home. It is a beautiful home. We love being here. We love living here. That's one of the hardest things about travel is being is being away from the home. And that's for real. And I mean, y'all built it in probably the rainiest year I've ever experienced in my life in 6 months, start to finish, which is pretty amazing. And we need to do a podcast sometime where I tell people they need to slow down when they're trying to move in too fast. learning from my own experiences.
We will absolutely have you guys on individually, because I think that both of you offer something totally different to my podcast than just the power couple aspect of it. And I think it was wonderful today, but I love seeing your pictures. I love seeing Brian out on his tractors working, doing whatever he's doing out there. And I know there's been lots of toys that have been added since then. But I also love seeing Kim on her front swing or sitting in her comfy chair with her devotions every morning. And it makes my heart so happy. And like I said, I am so glad you guys decided to be our first power couple, because I couldn't imagine it being anybody else. But tell everybody where they can find you.
All right. They can find us at shopmarketingpros.com and then at shopmarketingpros pretty much everywhere. Personally, I don't do a whole lot personally, but if you go to YouTube, you can see my smiling face on a ton of videos on the Shop Marketing Pros YouTube channel. And we're Instagram, Facebook.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much everywhere. It's not, just look, Shop Marketing Pros. You'll find us wherever you want to be.
So, Kim, I'm going to tell you, when you walk around places, Garland, tell them what you tell me.
Everywhere we go, somebody knows Erica. And she's like, and when they leave, she's like, I don't know who that was. I said, you're famous.
So guess what, Kim and Brian?
You're famous. You're famous.
So we will leave it on that note. I love you guys, and I can't wait to catch up and get y'all scheduled individually, hopefully.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.